Maranatha is a combination of two words, Maran, meaning our Lord, and Atha, meaning has come or come. The phrase can be translated as our Lord come, or our Lord has come, or just simply Lord come. Let's look at Galatians 4:4 as we think about Christmas and Jesus coming to earth as a baby in the womb of a virgin named Mary. Galatians 4:4 begins, "But when the fullness of time was come," the precise moment, chosen, completed, fulfilled, and appointed by God himself for his Son to come. The verse goes on to say that at that precise time in history, God sent forth his Son, sent forth on a mission with a specific purpose. Christmas is not a random, haphazard act of God, but as 1 Peter 1:20 states, who, Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus came. This is Christmas.
Thank you. Bethlehem town.
Bethlehem town. Tiny village where the Lord came down. You can always say, you're the place where the Lord first lay. Bethlehem night.
Bethlehem night.
When the shepherds came to view the sight of God's precious Son, Jesus Christ the Anointed One. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his shepherds fall. Whom is he that from his throne rules through all the world along? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, crown him, Lord of all. 'Tis the Lord.
Matthew 1 and Luke 1 tell us of several comings that happened before that Christmas night. An angel came to Zacharias. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream. Mary comes to Elizabeth. And in Luke 2, we have the fearful and exciting account of an angel coming to the shepherds. Then the coming of a host of angels praising God. What a night that was. The Lord had come.
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around.
Fear not, said
So Jesus came, but why? Remember, Galatians 4:4 tells us that God sent forth Jesus. That phrase, sent forth, indicates being sent forth with a purpose or a mission. Actually, Jesus himself answered the why question in Matthew 18:11, where he says that the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And in John 10:10, Jesus says that he was come that we might have life. And John 3:16 makes it clear that God gave his Son, Jesus, that we as believers can have everlasting life. That's why Jesus was sent forth. That's why he was born.
Was he born the In Matthew 27:22, at Jesus' trial, Pilate asked the people a question that everyone who has ever lived must also answer. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? There are only two choices. Believe in Jesus and receive him as your Savior, or reject the one God sent forth to save you. What have you done, or what will you do with Jesus? The early church faced much persecution under Roman rule, and Maranatha became the common greeting of the oppressed believers. They knew there would be no peace in this world apart from the peace that comes by knowing and serving the Lord. Today, the unbelieving world continues to persecute and mock those who serve the one who was sent forth by God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we do? We lovingly serve our Lord and save, or as Jesus said in Luke 19:13, we occupy until he comes. Those early believers resounded the hope, Maranatha, Lord, come. And we join them today as we wait for, long for, and anticipate our Lord's return. Revelation 22:20, even so come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha.
Pilate's hall, they scourged our Lord and mocked his holy name. All hail the King of Jews, they loudly cried. They nailed him to a rugged tree and left him there to die. The King of Kings with wounded rib and side.
They took his body from the cross and laid him in the tomb. All hope seemed gone, the King of Kings was dead. But death was not triumphant, he rose up from the grave. And soon he'll be returning as he said.
The King is coming.
Signs of his appearing are present everywhere. The world is filled with sin and doubts of men. But all these things just help us see the time is drawing nigh. Will you be ready when he comes again?
The King coming in majesty and glory to take away the curse of sin and reign in victory. The King is coming, let heaven and earth adore him, and all confess his righteousness. The King is coming again.
Yeah. Every year when Christmas time rolls around, colored lights begin to adorn houses, trees get all decorated, presents get wrapped or put in those bags they make now. Stores are all decorated and they move their merchandise all around so they can put out the special merchandise. Of course, a lot of people don't want to call it Christmas. It's happy holidays. As if using a word that has the name of Christ is somehow unacceptable. Still, a vast majority of people, at least here in the United States and in many countries around the world, they celebrate Christmas. So what's it all about? May I suggest to you two basic things. First of all, Christmas is about God coming to earth. It's not just about a person being born. It is about that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, where it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And it happened. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." Christmas is about a person being born, but that person being born is all about God coming to earth. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Consider the testimony of the angels in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the testimony of the wise men saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Consider the testimony of fallen angels. You know, when Satan fell from heaven, he took one third of the angels with him. And while Jesus was here on earth, there were incidents in which he interacted with a few of those fallen angels. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29 is one of those. And it says, "Behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Even the fallen angels. Well, before they fell, they were with him in heaven. They knew exactly who this person is, the Son of God. And in Mark chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." And consider the testimony of the Roman soldier over in Mark chapter 15 and verse 39. Following the crucifixion, now this Roman soldier was not a believer. He was a heathen, just like all of the Romans, worshiping their ancestors and considering the Caesar to be a god. But in Mark 15:39, when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Then there's the testimony of the Apostle John, John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in verse 14 of John chapter 1, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And then there's the testimony of the Father himself. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus said this over in John chapter 6 and verse 38, "I came down from heaven." Yeah. All of these testimonies declare one simple fact. Christmas is about the eternal Son of God coming down from heaven to earth. And he came to do something very special, which is the second thing that Christmas is about. Christmas is about God saving man. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Even the testimony of the angel to Joseph over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what the name Jesus means. He's our Savior. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus declared why he had come. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." We talk a lot about gifts at Christmas time. The day after Christmas, we often ask children, "What did you get for Christmas?" Well, in a sense, Christmas is about getting. What did we get? We got the Son of God coming down from heaven and giving us the amazing gift of eternal life. As it says in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But Christmas is only half of the story, because Jesus came the first time so that he could come the second time, which has not happened yet. He made the promise, John 14, verse 3, "And I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." He's preparing a place for us. Many of us have loved ones that are in heaven. My wife is in heaven. I think about that new Jerusalem city that he has made for us to dwell in some future time, but it's not come down to earth yet. It's up there in heaven, and I imagine that's where all these mansions are that the scripture talks about. My Father's house are many mansions, he says in John chapter 14. I imagine my wife in one of those rooms in the New Jerusalem. I wonder if my room is waiting for me beside hers. That would be nice. He prepares a place for us. But he's going to come again. Not just to take us to that place, but so that he can receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Can you imagine what it was like for the disciples and those gathered around him in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 when he was caught up and went up into the air? His ascension into heaven, you know, we make these amazing spaceships for men to go through the earth's atmosphere out into space, and it has to be well made, because if you go through that outer ring of the atmosphere, it's very, very hot and you'll burn up if you're not properly protected. But Jesus didn't go up in a spaceship. Imagine that. just floating up in the air, going through the Earth's atmosphere, out in space, and all the way to heaven. We're going to do that someday. It said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" I think I would have been just like them. If you see the Lord Jesus go up in the air, you just stand there, what? He says, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The point of the promise, John 14:3, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Matthew chapter 2 tells us that there were a lot of people who were not ready when Jesus came the first time. The wise men came from the east. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, the scribes and the priests knew where Jesus was to be born. They knew Micah's prophecy, because when Herod had inquired of them, they told him. They said in verse 5, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," that is Micah the prophet, "and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Now, they knew that was referring to the birth of the Messiah. They knew that. If they knew that, then they knew Daniel's prophecy and the timing of the Messiah's coming. But how many of them went to Bethlehem to see the king? Apparently, they thought by ignoring the report of the wise men, it would be like it never happened. They weren't ready for Jesus to come. Question for us is, will we be ready when Jesus comes the next time? In order to be ready, you have to receive Jesus as your Savior. You have to believe that he came the first time, not just to be an arbiter of peace, but to be the one who would bring peace between you and God. By bearing your sins on the cross, shedding his blood to pay your price, suffering all of your suffering, dying your death, and for you, conquering death. If you believe that and trust it, and receive Christ by declaring to God the confession of your sin and the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be ready when he comes the next time. Don't be like those who were not ready when he came the first time. The king is coming. Be ready. If you have not yet received Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to receive him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if there is a soul or two or three here today who is near to hell. Fill their heart with the truth and bring them to the Savior. Thank you that Jesus came, and thank you that he is coming again. Help us all to be ready. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.